Now, at this point, I think it's important to realize what the city of Austin was arguing. They said, we adopted this ordinance because we had all kinds of complaints and concerns. Here's a summary. They said, short-term rentals are particularly susceptible to over-occupancy, which affects fire safety, and it overwhelms existing wastewater systems and tenants dumping trash in the neighborhood, engaging in public urination and public intoxication and open drug use. And they were concerned also about illegal parking, noise, loud music, vulgarity, and other negative impacts of having a party house environment in these residential neighborhoods. Those were the city's articulated concerns. The court gives them sort of the back of the hand, just says, well, that just this ordinance serves minimal, if any, public interest. This is unfamiliar in land use law. Courts normally defer to legislative determinations on questions like that. What is good public policy? How much weight should you give this, that, or the other? But here they step in and say, minimal, if any, public interest. There's a significant impact on a property interest, which in this case they said is the right to move out of your house so it's no longer a homestead and then rent it for short-term purposes. That was a property interest. They held the ordinance unconstitutionally retroactive. I was a little puzzled by the retroactivity theory, where this came from. I noticed that the Texas Public Policy Foundation was on the appeal. In fact, they appeared as representing the property owners. This is an Austin-based conservative research group. And they actually have an explanation of this case up on their website. You can see their landing page or the website page here on this slide. And you can read this. They listed the reasons that Austin's ordinance was bad. They included equal protection, due course of law, freedom of movement, right to privacy, freedom of assembly, and freedom from unreasonable search and seizure. Well, you may notice that retroactivity didn't make their list. By the way, this was put up in 2018 before the case was heard by the court. But it wasn't even on the list. It didn't even make the top six. Where did this come from? I believe from the context of the case that and the way the court describes it, that the state of Texas, represented by the attorney general, who had intervened in this case, raised the retroactivity issue. So it looks like it was something brought in specially by the attorney general to attack this ordinance. Let's turn now to the section 7 of the paper. It starts on page 11. This is a collection of First Amendment cases, three sign ordinance cases. Julian Grant covered this subject very well this morning. I'm going to glide over these pretty fast because he did a good job on this. I just have three Texas cases to talk about in my update. They're from Central Texas, all of them, Cedar Park, Austin, and Chavano Park. Quick background on the Reed case, that was all about ordinances being based on content, and that triggers strict scrutiny, unless maybe you restrict your ordinance to things like size of signs, materials, lighting, moving parts, portability, location. Those are things mentioned in the Supreme Court's opinion that indicates that maybe that's not going to trigger strict scrutiny if you restrict your ordinance to those issues. This particular case that we're going to start with, the Reagan National Advertising case versus City of Austin, is all about on-premise, off-premise distinction, and which is hinted at in the Supreme Court's opinion as being something that could be viable. We'll see how that turns out here in a minute. Let me first talk about the plaintiff here. I keep noticing that name, Reagan National Advertising. It pops up an awful lot in the reported opinions. They must have a very, almost an unlimited litigation budget. I checked their website, and here they are. They say that you should be bold, be different, and be remembered. Now, I think they're actually carrying that out in this case because they applied to the City of Austin for permits to convert 50 billboards to digital. In other words, they were going to convert plain billboards to digital or LED lighted billboards. And these were all over the City of Austin. And they were joined by another outdoor advertising firm that added 23 more. give you an idea of what those things, this is probably the largest possible digital signboard, but that's the kind of impact that these things have, that they are very eye-catching facilities. Reagan was certainly being bold and being different by applying for these things. Now, they claimed that in the litigation, very much as Julian mentioned this morning, that